Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In 1986, the average cost of a new house was just over $89,000. We were making an average income of just over $22,000 a year. The average cost of a new car was about $9,000. A gallon of gas was 89 cents. 1986 was the last time the Lincoln Airport Authority levied a property tax. But officials, including my guest today, strongly believe that now is the time to do it again for much-needed upgrades to the 46-year-old terminal. Dave Herring, Airport Executive Director, is here to talk about officials wanting to raise taxes to pay for a $44 million terminal renovation and expansion. Dave, good morning. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
Give listeners some of the glaring inadequacies at the Lincoln Airport.
Sure. This all started, actually, believe it or not, this conversation started over a decade ago, where we started seeing challenges that really rose up in the wake of September 11th, where the security checkpoints were never contemplated when the terminal was built. So the core of this really goes into trying to get towards a consolidated checkpoint. The TSA anecdotally has told us they believe that they can be about 50% more efficient with one consolidated checkpoint than they can be with the two checkpoints that we have now. That's going to help speed up the process in the morning, which we were seeing some issues with. As a result of that, we're going to have to expand the gate hold because we're in effect, you know, while metaphorically, basically moving the south side of the terminal to the north and combining everything down there. And then our desire to see food and beverage services pass security. That has been probably one of the number one complaints that we've had since I got here that I've heard about over time, is that people just don't want to hang out in the bar and the restaurant area, enjoy some of those services because you're eager to get through security. And when we don't have those services now, we want to see those in the right place. So really just a modernization of the existing facilities to meet what are expected demands.
Those are the ones we see as passengers coming and going.
Correct.
Out of the airport. What about the behind the scenes, behind the curtain? Would some of the tax money go to improve what we don't see as passengers?
Absolutely. One of the things that we are doing is consolidating some of the ticket holds, some of the baggage processing areas. Those are all things that, while it may or may not make the passenger trip more efficient, it absolutely makes it an easier airport to operate in and out of from an air carrier perspective. And so one of the things that will be obvious is that, for example, baggage. Right now, when you drop off, when you stop for at either counter to check in, you have to take your bags to the TSA officials and then come back to or proceed on your trip. Here, with the consolidated checkpoints, you'll be able to check in, drop your bag off, all seamless, and proceed up to the security checkpoint.
Dave, one of your responsibilities is obviously about money, more bodies in the building, more people flying out, more people coming in. Did you hear of a need for this? From what sources? Is it from the Airport Authority? Is it from United? Is it from Delta? Is it from passengers? From where is this coming? Obviously, there's a need there. It's been 33 and a half decades since renovations took place. So I'm not bringing that up. I'm bringing up more from where are the sources of any complaints that might be coming in.
It's really a combination of things. One is one that stood out is the TSA. The TSA has chimed for years about wanting to see a consolidated checkpoint because TSA staffing is based upon the number of passengers, not the number of checkpoints. We really do not warrant two checkpoints at the number of passengers that we have. So that's been one thing, and our desire to control that. Passengers, obviously, for years have talked about the food and beverage side of things, but even more so, passengers in the last year or two have started noticing the challenges with security. We had several instances over the last couple years where passengers have missed flights because they've been stuck in a security line that got longer in the morning due to an unexpected delay or something like that. So it came from there. Just an additional side to that is we also have a board member that's on the board right now who was a former airport director. I'm obviously a current airport director, and all of us understand some of the challenges that exist with just the layout of the facility. facility as it sits currently. And the fact that regardless of whether we did something now or 5 years from now, a 46-year-old terminal is going to need some attention at some point. And while we've talked about it over years, we've continued to kind of kick that down the road. And now's the time to really address it.
Let's relate this to our listeners. A 46-year-old house would need renovation, and their traffic flow is considerably less than what goes through an airport. So that makes it a little more relatable. Been 34 years, as I mentioned, since the Airport Authority used its authority to levy a property tax. Explain what's involved in levying a property tax from the Airport Authority.
Sure. Well, the airport takes this very seriously. We've been very proud of the fact that we've been able to be self-sustaining going all the way back to 1986. And we really have viewed that property tax the way that we feel is a responsible way to do it, that we want to operate self-sustaining. We want to do everything we can with the revenue that we have, but hold that as needed for a project like this, which is quite frankly a capital project that is beyond the means of our existing capabilities. And so in this case, the airport does intend to bond this project. We believe that right now the rates are such that makes fiscal sense. And so we are going to bond the project. 100% of the proceeds from our levy, which we anticipate at this point will be about half of our statutory levy. The airport has the ability to levy up to 3.5 cents. We believe that this will probably fall somewhere about half of that levy. And 100% of those proceeds will go to pay those bonds. And so forever, however long that is, probably in the 10 to 15 year time frame, it will exclusively be used to pay that. It will not be used to fund operations at the airport. So it isn't going to help with marketing budgets or help with salaries or help with other expenses at the airport. 100% of those proceeds will go to pay off this project.
That's an odd explanation to give when you make the statement that taxpayers don't sustain the Lincoln Airport.
No, and it's something, like I said, that we're very proud of. I've been trying to check. I think we are one of the very few entities in the state of Nebraska that does have the ability to tax and has not done so. It's a nice security to have from our perspective. It's good fiscal management when you're looking at saying that you do have the ability to do this if it's needed, but you have not done so. We're also very fortunate, though, that unlike many airports in the United States, we do have a very large industrial park, and that's one of the reasons that we're able to do what we do, because we do have basically 50% of our revenue coming in off of that, which is a luxury that not every airport has.
Dave Herring joined me on the conversation, Airport Executive Director here in Lincoln. During the pandemic, the Lincoln Airport, as all airports across the country, saw passenger counts drop. Here in Lincoln, I believe, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, 90% reduction at the Lincoln Airport. I saw that percentage reflected at other airports across the country. Then in early October, it was back to an average of about 100 passengers a day. If you would talk about the timing of this, because we're in another surge coming up to the end of the year. Talk about the timing of this property tax effort.
Sure. You know, it's there was a lot of conversation about that. This project has been discussed for probably about the last 2 or 3 years now. Obviously, at that time, there was no conversation about, well, when the pandemic hits, here's what we'll do. So there's been a lot of conversation about, is this still appropriate? Is this still the right time to do it? And we believe that it is for a lot of different reasons. One, we've spoken continuously with our air service development consultants who we hired for explicitly this reason, is basically to determine, is this a permanent loss of traffic, which is a contemplation at airports across the country, is this going to rebound? We believe in talking to him that while the recovery will certainly not be quick, we see no reason to believe that the reduction that we've seen here, which right now we're at about 80%-ish down, that the reduction that we've seen here is a permanent reduction. We believe that the market will be rebound, that it will be probably in the 3 to 5 year range ish. The other reason that there's a benefit to this right now is that when you have the ability to do a project like this, when the terminal is not under stress, and by that I mean where we don't have full passenger loads, it makes for a more efficient project. We have the ability to completely shut off activities in one side of the terminal and give that to the contractor. That helps with costs. And we do not have to create any sort of temporary conditions where if we shut off that side of the terminal, we have to get trailers and other secondary security protocols in place. So all of those things help reduce this cost to where we are presently. Even though the price tag of it is still fairly hefty, between $40 and $45 million, it could be more expensive either if we had to wait a couple more years or had to create those temporary conditions and move forward in that realm.
carriers have come and gone over the years, but United and Delta have been there. They've been the mainstay carriers into and out of Lincoln. Explain what Lincoln's location does for those two carriers.
Well, really what it falls into is, while you would, just from an aviation view of this, you would inherently think that there's somewhat of a risk in operating out of Lincoln, mainly because of us operating in the shadow of Omaha. And this is really a tip of the cap to the residents of Lincoln. The fact that we have been able to sustain two carriers, and when we were operating fully, really operating those at 80 to 90% loads, so very full, very well-utilized services, that's a tip of the hat to the residents here. It's really the residents that help keep that service. And so, whether it's being in the capital city, whether it's the existence of UNL here, you can point to a lot of different factors. But without the support of our passengers and the residents, it would be virtually impossible to keep that. You see airports all across the country right now that are losing service that would do anything to have it back. And we're not just talking a reduction of service. Even pre-pandemic levels, you would see airports that were our size that were really struggling to maintain air service. So we're very fortunate to live in a community that supports it as much as they do.
When does the Airport Authority take this up?
It will probably be late first, early second quarter next year where it'll be contemplated. Again, I would stress the tax that is being considered right now would not go into place until 22. Even though the project will be done well in front of that, the tax, the way that just that it lays out as far as timeline goes, would not take place until 22. But I would anticipate that we would really be considering all of this. So the project cost, the bonding, and then the payment stream will all probably be in the March, April timeframe would be my guess.
And in the meantime, fly right from Lincoln.
That's right. Absolutely. Right. Unite, obviously, Delta has suspended services for the time being. We hope to see them back in the near future when the market comes back, whenever that is. But United is continuing to operate and has actually increased their flights recently. And we're slowly seeing those loads come back. But as I said, I think it'll be a while before everybody's comfortable flying in that environment again.
Dave, is that the conversation when you're in a room of other airport executives, airport directors from around the country? What is the conversation content?
It's exactly very similar to what we're talking about now. There's a high level of uncertainty. I mean, we're all dealing with things that we've never dealt with before. I mean, the example that everybody tends to want to use is what we're dealing with now is September 11th. But September 11th was such a defined thing that took place, and you could take tangible actions to beef up security, to make people feel safe. This is such a different environment because it's unseen, unknown, and you can't do as many things to make people feel safe. So right now, it is more an issue of passengers being willing to fly than it is the airlines themselves taking actions. And so that's why right now you look at our slogan that we're utilizing at the airport, and that's the when you're ready, we're ready. We're doing everything we can, but it ultimately falls on those passengers and their safety and how they feel and that willingness to come back. So that conversation is taking place across the industry on what do we do to help people feel safe, to know that we're doing everything we can to make sure that they stay safe from this unknown, this virus.
Well, David, could be argued, and it is argued, that the circulation of air in an airplane and the spatial management that goes on inside the craft itself makes an air flight one of the safest environments these days for a passenger.
It does, and there's been several studies that have come out recently that have talked about, from the cleaning protocol to the HEPA filters and the high-end filters that they're using in the planes, that I think the one I saw here recently talked about being safer in an airplane than you are grocery shopping. Mm. And so, again, that just goes to show that both airports, airlines, everybody in this industry are trying to do everything that we possibly can to keep our passengers safe.
Dave Herring, Airport Executive Director, joining me today on Lincoln Live.